Kenmore Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order, today being February 21st, approximately 11:45 a.m. In the absence of our secretary, Commissioner DeBleek, could I appoint you as secretary?
You may, yes.
Thank you. Any changes to the agenda today? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda consisting of bill payments in the amount of about $2.25 million and our minutes from the February 10th meeting.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Mr. Herron, is there anything in the bills that you'd like to point out today?
No, unless there's questions, but nothing to point out. One capital item that was highlighted.
I do see that for the SCADA system?
Correct.
Anything abnormal with that, or pretty straightforward?
Pretty straightforward. What that is, what we have going on there, that's, you can see it's a 50% payment. That has to do with shutting down the power plant. Power plant staff has always operated our switches on our system and on the water department to some extent, pumps and stuff. So this will give our guys in the field the ability to operate stuff from the field off of their iPads.
Any other questions or discussion on the resolution? If not, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could do a roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That carries. Thank you. Moving on from our Director of Finance, Ms. Runge, we've got some financial reports.
Thank you. We'll take a look at the financial statements for the month of January. Taking a look at the electric division, revenue shows we are down compared to last year at this point in the year, $712,244. Just a reminder, last year we did have a bill cycle change that we had some additional revenue booked because along with the bill cycle change, we lined up our revenues and expenses. So there was an additional $587,114.09 of revenue last year that was due to that bill cycle change. So that is the majority of that difference that you're seeing for the month of January. And then in addition, our sales were down for the month of January. And if you remember, January last year, we had polar vortex, and it was a much colder year. And so I would anticipate that being the reason why our sales are down slightly in January as well. Expenses, $18,994 ahead of last year on expenses for January. And overall margins were down $725,015, which again, a large portion of that is that revenue recognition and bill cycle change. Moving on to our water division, again, revenue down $28,894. With that bill cycle change, there was about $69,345. So actually, our revenue is ahead this year, taking that into consideration. And again, we did have a rate increase on the water side effective January 1st that is reflected in there. Expenses down $18,545 compared to last year, and overall margins down $10,930 on the water division. Moving on to the heating division, revenue down $91,722. That is due to customers continuing to move off the system, and particularly the largest customers have moved off the system. Expenses, we are up $15,000. Last year, it looks like January, we didn't quite have our gas bill in there, and so that's why it does look a little skewed. And overall margins, we are down $103,618 from last year in January. Taking a look at our combined financial statement, overall revenues down $832,860. Expenses are up $15,451, and overall margins down $843,077. We've also attached the graphs that show the revenues and expenses for January and the comparison of them, along with the retained earnings. Are there any questions on the financial statements?
Doesn't look like it.
All right, we will take a look at our investment portfolio. The investment portfolio has been updated starting with our January 1st investment total. We had $26,913,500 invested as of January 1st, and our year-to-date yield is 0.22%. Any questions on the investments?
I do have a question on the going back to the financials.
Yep.
The budget number, does that incorporate the change in billing cycle?
It does not. This would be this year's budget. The bill cycle change actually happened in 2019, and no, that was not budgeted for at that time because our budgets are done in July, and at that point, we hadn't worked through all the details of the bill cycle change and if we were going to change our revenue months. So it was not reflected in the budget last year, nor is it this year. The budget for this year was based on what we anticipated receiving this year for revenue.
Okay.
But it would have incorporated on the water side, it would have incorporated the rate increase on the water.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, taking a look at our cost of power graph, you will see our cost is up just slightly. For the month at actually, it's down slightly, 0.06, and our average 12-month is 0.068. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong month. 0.64, it is up slightly, and an average is
0.069. Correct. Any other questions on the reports? All right. Thank you, Denise. Moving on, we've got educational topic from our water department. Mr. Bregelman.
Thank you, Commissioner Madden. Hopefully you've got a chance to look at it because I really am going to do just a flyover. So we'll see how it goes. I'll talk off the summary if you would mind looking at the exhibit. First one I'm going to talk about is the Northeast Water Tower. If you notice there, it was almost $1 million. We had KLM Engineering come in and inspect it and give us an evaluation of it. Good news is they're saying it's good for 5 to 7 years. That price caught me by surprise, and I asked him if that was a budgetary number. To my surprise, he told me that was within $10,000 of what he expected the cost to be, and that did not include engineering nor inspection, which would be an additional $150,000 to $200,000. More for reference, the reason I put that in there is that cannot be done at the same time as the Northeast Treatment Plant, which means it either has to happen before the treatment plant or after the treatment plant. It cannot be done at the same time, and really, you're only doing it early for looks. It should last 150 years. If you redo it every 15 years, you would pay for it 10 times. If you can get 25 years out of it, you only have to do it 6, which saves you a lot of money. So I'm going to go with pushing it back. Might mean we get a call or two on it. So that's why it's in there. Okay, if we can go to exhibit number 2, this is the water main modeling. This is something we started in 2018. Completed it in 2019. Everything actually looked pretty good, and we really didn't change much. Is what happens there is we predict the growth of the community, and we plot out the industrial park. What would really wreck our model if somebody came in and decided we needed to move our industrial park to a different area. That means we didn't run large enough water mains to that area. That's why if you look at the report, it says none of them were undersized. The capacity of our towers and stuff are right. But if you move something in the model, there's also, if you notice, there's no year tied to that plan. It's all based on development. There's no way of knowing how the town's going to grow. Okay, then the next one, let's go to exhibit number 3. This is where I give you a summary of the numbers. I was just telling Mike before we talked. When I was looking at it just for the heck of it, I started thinking about it. We record over 120 million numbers per year. Hopefully I picked the right numbers for you to show, to come up with these numbers. Okay, if you look at it, the peak day, or the average day is 4.1 million gallons per day with a peak day of 6.6. So why this is interesting, and also the other thing to look at is the number of services that grew. And if you remember when Todd gave his electrical one, he talked about there was only one or two new services. We have 180 or 108. I was hoping he would be here. I was going to tell him that we're overachievers. But what it has to do with is we use building permits for our numbers. and why the number is so high. We had two large apartment buildings added this year, which accounts for almost 100 of them, 98 of them. So the rest are residential and a couple commercial. But the reason that's important is that's going to come into effect later here when we talk about our treatment plan. Those are the numbers we watch. Okay, then if you want to jump to exhibit number 4. You've actually looked at this water main map before. We keep track of all the water main breaks we have every year, and we really plot it out. Is what we're working toward is I'm working with the city, and we're trying to come up with a 5-year street plan, which would include water main replacement. Okay? Because as you know, we have to pay for that replacement now. And if they were to pick streets, all their streets, and go in aggressive street repair, we don't have enough money in our budget for that. Everything is based on the number of years we have. So when they come up with the 5-year plan, I'll have better numbers for you. Okay?
They will come up with one.
We are working on one, yes.
Okay.
I think that is a goal for both them and us. I do believe that to be true.
Good.
Okay?
There's new city administrator there is pushing hard for staff to develop a 5, even a 10-year plan.
Okay, good.
So they have the map I gave you. And the other thing that I wanted that you want to look at there is if we were to have another water main break in one of those areas, let's say like 6th Street, there might be an area, a block that we end up having to replace because it's just in too bad a shape, like happened to us this year on South 1st Street and on 19th Avenue. We ended up bringing those into the projects that we had no intention of doing earlier. So that's why I always show you the map, just to kind of remind you, if we have trouble in that area, all of a sudden, at some point, we just have to say, that's enough. It beat us up. We have to do it.
Go ahead. Look back at Exhibit 3, where it says down there, the water main breaks, 30 of them. And are some of those really small then? I mean, that's about 3 a month that you have then, right?
Okay, I was going to talk about it a little later, but we can talk about it right now. No, that's fine. Water main breaks in those areas, okay? We had last year, I go by seasons, not by year. My season I'm talking about is from November till now, the end of February, okay? Last year at this time, if you remember, we got hit pretty hard. We had 14 water main breaks in that period. This year so far, we have 3. A lot due to the weather. The other thing is 5 of those water main breaks would have been in the areas that we did replace this year. So there is some benefit to repairing the leaks and spending the money. And of those, does that answer your question, or are you asking about the size?
Somewhat about the size. Both, I guess. But the size, you know, I was just wondering when the one that happened right out here, the huge one that went all over and stuff, how the size of them that when the break happens, the distance, the biggest blocks or whatever that's covered, I guess that's just out of curiosity.
One thing about it, sometimes you think the one out here was kind of a nasty one because it was underneath a concrete road and, you know, it did some damage here, put some water in our basement. It was followed up by 4 water main breaks on 7th Street. We ended up abandoning that water main, so we ended up digging a couple holes and doing it in steps. So that got to be a large and an expensive water main break, okay? But some of the ones that get to be just about as expensive are the really, really slow ones that are hard to find. That go a long ways, okay? And they vary a lot because if you notice on Exhibit 3, the peak day is actually 3-4, which is 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
That was actually a water main break. That was one of our stranger ones. The water showed up on Southwest 5th Street, or Southeast 5th Street, and the water main break was on Southwest 5th Street. Got in the storm sewer. It took us a while to find it. So that's why it's so large, and it was actually a large water main. But we've seen a lot larger over the years. But
thank you.
But the 30 is all counted no matter what size. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, Exhibit 5. This is actually the capital improvement budget. Hopefully, look at it so I know what I'm talking about. The First one is the meters. You see, we were actually a little under budget. That was really just due to, we were one person short due to a retirement, and we just didn't get our meters changed that we were hoping to. And that's just an area that we were able to give a little on. We do keep track of all of our water meters. When we change a water meter that has been in, let's say, the 23 years plus has used a lot of water, we actually test them to see where we're at, if we need to accelerate that or to find out exactly where we are. Okay, the next is the water treatment plant. This is the one that ties a lot of these numbers together. This is going to be based on need, which we keep track of in Exhibit 3, and where we monitor our load and growth, along with water quality. So that one's coming to a point where we're going to end up needing to look at that. We're going to need to schedule that along with our Northeast water tower. Okay? And then further down on the water mains, you can see we were way over budget, and that was due to the additions of the two water main replacement projects that I talked about on South First Street and on 19th Avenue, that we did go before the planning committee, and just a reminder that we actually added one, was on 19th Avenue that was okayed by that, and we talked about the Wilmer Y, which neither of those bills are reflected in that, but that the work on 19th Avenue has already been done, so that's bill still coming. So, any questions on any of that? Then just a little quick update on the heating system, on just by numbers. Back in 2017, we had, you'll hear different numbers from me. Back there, when you talk about accounts and customers, they aren't the same, and that is because, like, the Wilmer Utilities were one customer, but we have three different accounts. There's several of them like that. So I'm always going to talk about the number of customers, okay? So back in 2017, we had roughly 200 customers, and as of today, we have 96 customers, okay? And what we've done is we've gone around and tried to communicate or talk to every one of those customers. We did that either in person, or the ones we just couldn't get to, they were always, were never home. We actually sent certified letters. We've communicated with, talked to everybody but two, one form or the other. And just to kind of give you a little, using this term spitball, and I'm gonna spitball this a little bit. If you look at the number of customers and the number of, and the amount of work, back in 17, they talked about that was too much work for the local contractors to get done. And if you look at by numbers, it looks like we have only half the work done. But I'm going to tell you it's way more than that, because of the top five customers, all five of them have converted except for one part of one account. Okay? And just to get you a reference, the total load that we had this January was only equal to the one largest customer's bill in January. That's how much is down. And I kind of just guesstimated some work to be done. The amount of work that's left in dollars is only half of what the largest customer spent. That's how much of the work is done. So we feel in pretty good shape of that. So, but I sound like a broken record. It's all about communicating with the customers so they get their gas line installed, because we can't control that. So,
Joel, can you talk about the breakdown of the 96 that we have, what we're looking at for residential versus commercial?
Most of those are residential. There's roughly 15 commercial accounts, and we are one of them, and so is the city. And I've talked to both of them. They have plans. The one thing that does come up is we do have seven accounts that use our district heating to heat their tap water. So I have to remind those people, they don't have to the end of the heating season to get this accomplished. They're going to be out of hot water on the 1st of July.
And there was how many of those?
Seven.
So we have seven customers, not accounts, correct, who get our hot water through this system, and on July 1st they will no longer have hot water.
That's correct, and we're one of them.
Okay. Of the two folks that we have not heard back from, do either of those have the hot water system, the hot water heating system, or is it just for home heat?
I personally have talked to almost every one of the seven that have the hot water, tap hot water.
Okay.
The two that are that we have not communicated with, we're just starting now. I do have a cell phone number for one, so I do believe in the next week we'll communicate with them. But they're on heat only.
Are those residential or commercial?
Residential.
Okay. So we still have a ways to go on this. We're definitely making progress, but time is quickly running out. So I appreciate the outreach that we are doing and continue to do. I think it's important that, you know, if there's customers that they're struggling for whatever reason and they're concerned about cost or whatever it is, they at least need to reach out and make sure they're communicating with us so that we know what's going on and can maybe help refer them to assistance if that's what's necessary.
We do have a couple that we are working a little closer with on that. And Michelle and I were just talking yesterday. The next step we're really going to do is on July 1st, when the system is shut down, you know, we're going to physically have to go in and remove the heating system from all these customers. And at that time, we need to have a formal letter because we're going to be in their house and we're going to be talking to them and say, okay, what is your plan? You know this is done now. And physically remove it. There should not be too much miscommunication at that point, I hope.
Has there been direct communication with the customers about that phase of it, the fact that we will need to show up for that disconnect portion?
In the letters, in the quarterly newsletters that are sent out, you know, we always talk about having to contact us so we can remove the system, but we have not spelled it out that, hey, even in July 1st, we will need to get in there to remove it.
Okay. I think it's important that we make sure that we're doing that so that they know for sure that that's coming. I don't want that to seem ambiguous to the customers at this point.
That's a good point because some of those things, we just understand it and maybe we don't communicate it very mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, communication is key. As we run down to the last few months on this, it's coming up quickly and there's still a fair amount of work to be done. Have we reached out directly to some of the local contractors just to see how their workload is looking and see if they've been able to reach out or...
Actually, I did, because I actually went to one of them and I says, you know, what does this really look like? And the particular one I talked to, I asked him, he said, well, he says, we install roughly 200 furnaces a year. So if you look at this is 75, so technically the one contractor alone could do them. He said, the amount of work is not the issue. He says, is what the issue is the gas line. Mm-hmm. He says, they typically can go in, remove a furnace and install the new one, hook up the gas line in less than a day. He says, but if the gas line isn't hooked up, they still have the day of installation. They have a half a day to go back to hook it up, okay? If the contractor doesn't or the homeowner does not get the gas line installed until too late in the year where they only do it next year, they would have to come in, convert this new furnace over to propane and then set a propane tank and then the following spring or summer come back and reconvert that back to natural gas. So it's really important that the customer, if they decide to go to natural gas, they get that line installed.
A lot of extra cost to have to switch it twice.
Yes,
or at least do the conversion.
You have a new furnace that's been taken apart twice.
Mm-hmm. On the roughly 15 commercial, and we're one of them and a couple others, but have we heard from everybody there in terms of a plan in place then? Have they got things kind of scheduled out or...
Really, there's only one, but I personally talked to that one. They have a plan. They got a project they're working on now. After that project's done, they're going to attack the heat.
Okay.
So, yes,
all right.
We've talked to them.
Thank you for the update on this. Commissioners, any other questions?
Joe, you're talking about removing equipment. You're just taking out the heat exchanger, or are we having to remove any of the water piping that comes into the home?
We actually are going to have to get into all of the customers, even the ones that have disconnected before now, because of what we have coming in is two lines, one supply line and one return line, and we have always had to install a little bypass piping so that otherwise the line would cool off and freeze, okay? So our plan is we're going to go in there and we remove all the piping from the basement. If it's a forced air unit, we remove the coil out of their furnace. We're going to cut the pipes off flush with the wall, and we cut them the blinds back and we cement that wall back in. So we remove everything from the house.
Okay.
Does that answer that question?
Yep.
I need to talk to you about having my wall cemented because I got this big blob hanging in my basement from when I took out
someone. The reason that is we had to keep that line circulating. That's what I'm saying. We're going to go back and we're going to cut those off.
Okay. I mean, I've just gotten used to it, but...
No, that's our intention, and we have to leave it until the system is shut down.
The system is all, okay, I understand, all right.
Just a side note, I actually filled the first section of district heating pipe myself, so, and we'll see if I can drain one too.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Joe, for keeping us up to date on this. We're coming down to the wire on the district heat, and so we'll probably be looking for updates, maybe almost monthly on this, just to see how we're doing, but we want to make sure that those in the public, and especially these customers, are fully aware of what's going on, that their questions are being answered, that they're communicating with us as much as we are with them, so.
Good.
Thank you.
Do our best, thank you.
All right. All right. Next on the agenda, Ms. Muratsky, we have an update on the children's energy exhibit. And before you do that, I might have you address the writing on the wall behind us.
Absolutely, I can do that. We often talk about our environment and having a good workplace, and one of the things that we wanted to make sure everyone is aware of is our mission statement. And the best way to do that is to keep it in front of everyone. So we have added on this wall our mission statement, and it has also been added up front at the customer service area. So we keep that in not just the employees and the staff minds, but also our customers. When they come in, they see that. So that's our commitment to our customers.
Looks good. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. And actually, Kevin and his team worked on, you know, getting everything organized for it and putting it up, and they've done a great job with that. So appreciate their efforts on it.
Thank you.
And the children's exhibit, the energy exhibit, you have the memo that I sent out for that. Basically, we were approached by Rochester. Their children's museum was part of the Minnesota Children's Museum, and the Minnesota Children's Museum has decided to close all of their satellite offices or locations, which included Rochester. And the exhibit was installed about 10 years ago at a pretty good cost, and I went down there just on Saturday afternoon, decided to drive down to Rochester, just a little 3-hour buzz, and kind of checked it out, and it is a great fit. I spoke with the Village Children's Museum here in town. They were very excited, and yesterday one of our staff members and some of the members from the Village that are connected with him went down to Rochester and got it apart and brought it back. So their next step this weekend actually is to get it in place into the Village to have it opened as an exhibit. And it consists of a few things. First is the energy house, and the intention is that you'd walk in and you have like a kitchen and some different things. So they'll have it set up a little bit differently than Rochester had it set up, just a different environment and whatnot. But the other fun thing is the energy bike. So this exhibit is not just for small children, although I think they would really enjoy it. It is also for us that are maybe a little older and maybe use an exercise bike more often than we want to admit or should. But the exercise bike is fun. You can sit on it and pedal away. And there are appliances from the 70s-ish era on the left, and then some more modern ones on the right. And as you pedal, you can tell, you know, how much energy does this take for these appliances to run. There's also a Power the City exhibit that just shows how electricity flows through a city. So wanted to make you aware of that. And Missouri River Energy Services has a community education program that they will be contributing half of the cost to this.
Well, it looks like a neat display. It's fun to have something like that available that especially the youth can check out. And
yeah, and it will be rebranded. We'll take off all of the RPU. The Village is working on that. And we will have Wilma Municipal Utilities logo, and then also the Bright Energy Solutions logo from Missouri River.
I didn't know what this village was until just this past. I was delivering Meals on Wheels.
Oh, yep. It's a nice asset to the city.
Yeah, you gave a good update to Commissioner Waboom's question on that as well, so appreciate
Great.
That coming through. No, this looks good, and for the cost of evidently of what they originally paid for it, we got it for a steal, so.
I would agree with that. And then there will be an open house, so we'll keep you apprised of that as well.
Great.
When they just, or like a grand opening of the exhibit, so once we would expect that maybe in, you know, 2 to 4 weeks.
It'd be a fun addition.
Yeah.
Any other questions, commissioners? All right, Michelle, thank you for the update. All right, next, Ms. Johnson, we have Mr. Schmidt's silent impact update.
Just a quick note, Joe each month is sending us a message and we are sharing it with you each month, and they have been interesting, and there has been feedback from staff, and so it's been positive. So enjoy.
Hello, Rainbow Public Utilities. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for the month of February. And remember, these impact resolutions are all designed to make us more aware and intentional with the impact that we have every month. And we concentrate on a value or a trait every month. So the impact resolution for the month of February is going to be listening. Great listeners make great leaders. Do you listen with your ears, or do you also listen with your eyes? When you listen with your eyes, you're not distracted because you're all in. You can't be on your phone listening to somebody, or you can't be on the phone playing on your computer when you're listening to somebody. You need to be all in. You know, John Wooden, the late great basketball coach at UCLA, has one of my favorite quotes. And he says, it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. And I think one of the great ways we can all learn is by listening more. Listening takes some energy. Sometimes listening takes some effort. But if you want to make a connection, if you want to make an impact, the more you listen, the better chance you have. I have a friend of mine, Dr. Manny Style, who's written a book called Listening Leaders. He's one of the top experts in the country on listening. I want to read a quote from the book because it comes from one of the great philosophers of all time, Fred Rogers. You probably know him as Mr. Rogers. And here's the quote that Mr. Rogers has about listening. He says, the purpose of life is to listen to yourself, to your neighbor, to your world, and to your God. And when the time comes to respond, make sure you respond in as helpful a way as you possibly can find. See, listening leads to response, and when you respond, that leads to making an impact. So here's what I'm hoping you'll do this month. I hope you listen more than you talk. Make sure you're a good listener, not just trying to think of the next thing to say in the conversation. Secondly, make sure you listen with your ears and your eyes. And last but not least, this month, let's try to leave every conversation we have with the person feeling better about themselves. If you've done that, you become a good listener, but you've also made an impact. When you make that impact, you can lead a life of significance. That's the impact resolution for February. We're back next month. Have a great month, and we'll see you then.
He's got some good insights, and he's able to do them in a concise format, so it's good to see. Appreciate the update. All right, moving on to the general manager's report, Mr. Heron.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Mattern. Couple of meetings coming up. Labor Committee will be pushing out a request to set a meeting up here shortly. We have one issue that we need to get in front of the Labor Committee. And for the Planning Committee, you can see the number of topics that we have there, but at this point in time, we're not ready for another meeting yet. So no meeting forthcoming shortly for the Planning Committee. And then on the backside also, if you flip over, we have our strategic initiatives. Just as a reminder of what they are, they're not on the front side as we have too much on the agenda for that. So I always keep that on our agendas as well, so we keep it in the forefront of the commission. So with that, is there any questions?
No questions. Anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move. Second.
We are adjourned.